Amazon 5-Star Theater presents Real Customer Reviews, performed by Eva Longoria. Tonight's review, sports briefs.
Oh boy.
Where do I even start with these performance mesh boxer briefs? These boxer briefs are like a magician's trick. You know the one where you go, where did that rabbit come from? So if you're looking for underwear that not only performs well, but also gives your package the attention it deserves, then look no further. 5 stars, Nicolicious. Shop the perfect gift this holiday season on Amazon.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect to your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel, or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
This is The Big Breakdown. A long look back at some of the biggest stories we're covering for you at the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Richard Allen's defense team just asked the Indiana Court of Appeals for permission to file a brief almost double the normal size, 24,000 words instead of 14,000. Why does this matter? They need an extra week past their December 10th deadline. They've identified 10 separate issues for appeal, 9 of them constitutional claims, at both the federal and Indiana state level. When the defense team tells a court they literally cannot fit their argument into the standard brief, that's not padding, that's not legal theatrics, that's a signal. Something went wrong here. And it's bigger than one or two procedural hiccups. So let's talk about what they're arguing, because buried in those 10 issues in the 5 categories of constitutional claims is a roadmap of everything that should make you uncomfortable about how Richard Allen ended up serving 130 years in Oklahoma prison for the murders of Abby Williams and Libby German. The defense has organized their appeal into 5 categories. And I'm going to walk through each one. And as I do, pay attention to what starts to emerge, not just individual problems, but a pattern. And while we're doing that, I got a request for you. please hit subscribe wherever you're listening to us or watching us. If you're on the podcast platform on Apple Podcast, please give us a review there on Apple Podcast. We'd greatly appreciate that. And YouTube, if you're not already there, check us out. Hitting Killers with Tony Bruschi. You can comment on this, let your voice be heard, and hit subscribe. We want to hear your thoughts on these cases. So if you could do that, I'd love it. Thank you so much. All right. Category one is the right to present a defense. This includes alternative explanations for the crime scene, other suspects, and the ability to impeach the quality of the investigation itself. It sounds basic, right? Sixth Amendment stuff. You get to defend yourself. You get to point at someone else and say, maybe they did it. Except Richard Allen's defense wasn't allowed to do that. Judge Francis Gull ruled in September 2024 that the defense could not present evidence related to their alternative theory. They had 1,200 pages of investigative material pointing to other suspects exposed to the jury. None of it. Yeah. They had a crime scene expert, Dr. Dawn Perlmutter, who specializes in ritualistic killings. She looked at the photos, the positioning of the bodies, the sticks arranged on top of them, and testified it was a textbook ritual murder. And I know that's uncomfortable and bizarre and something we like to think only exists in old episodes of Unsolved Mysteries from 1989. But it doesn't. These things actually do happen in real life. And there happens to be quite a big community of ritualistic-minded folks around Delphi. And there's evidence of that. They let it be known. Asked if she had any doubt that Odinism was involved, she said none at all. Pretty big stuff. When you're talking about murder and the way the bodies are positioned, and if you're going to connect it to something, and it looks like this looks like an Odinistic ritual, you know, who's into Odinism? Well, it's not Richard Allen, but there's a lot of other people that appear to be. And here's what they would have heard if Gull hadn't shut all of this down. Ron Logan, 77 years old. He owned the property where Abby and Libby's bodies were found. The FBI got a search warrant for his home in March of 2017, just weeks after the murders. His phone pinged near the Monon High Bridge around 2:09 p.m. the day the girls disappeared. The prosecution's own theory is that the girls were killed around 2:32 p.m. that evening. Logan's phone pinged again, this time near where the bodies were discovered. And what do you do in that moment of, oh, your phone is pinging where there's a murder that has taken place and there's bodies? Well, he asked his cousin to lie about picking him up that afternoon. He made up a fake alibi. You know, like innocent people do. Multiple tipsters identified him from the bridge guy video. I mean, if you're going to believe anybody's bridge guy, it certainly is Ron Logan. His ex-girlfriend told police he'd threatened to kill them, too. So he's a lovely dude. In May of 2017, while Logan was locked up on a probation violation, a fellow inmate named Rishi Davis contacted law enforcement. Davis said Logan had confessed to the murders step by step. Box cutter to the throat, burned his clothes in a fire pit, said his nose bleed was going on, and he worried drops ended up on the girls. Details that matched what investigators found and what came out at the trial years later. But nothing to see here. Ron was never charged. He died in January of 2022. The prosecution's response to all of this? Well, Davis failed a polygraph, which, okay, polygraphs aren't admissible in court for a reason. They're junk science. But even if you believe the polygraph, even if you think Davis made it all up, the question remains, why didn't the jury get to hear about it and decide for themselves? And plus, a lot of that information has nothing to do with the polygraph. Or Rishi Davis. And everything to do with Ron Logan. But he's dead and you didn't get your a living victim and you ignored the FBI's warnings about him and you pushed them out of the investigation. So I get it. It's a bad look for the police, for the investigators. So you probably don't want a spotlight on that. So you better find some other villain, right? Well, here's another one. Brad Holder. His son was dating Abby Williams. Indiana State Police investigators wrote internal reports linking Holder to the practice of Odinism. Okay. They interviewed him. The defense wanted those interview recordings. Turns out they don't exist anymore. The Delphi Police Department's DVR system malfunctioned, or someone set it to permanent record mode. And every interview conducted at headquarters in those early months got erased. 6 months of interviews gone. Crucial interviews with potential suspects. Brad Holder's never been charged with anything here. He maintains his innocence. We're not saying he had anything to do with it. But it sure looked like an interesting lead, considering the Odinism links and, yeah. The defense argued that law enforcement's failure to pursue obvious links between the crime scene and Odinism was confounding. Indiana State Police consulted with a Purdue professor about possible Odinist symbols at the crime scene as early as February 2018. They investigated it, and then they dropped it. No explanation. Nothing to see here. And then Judge Gull, in her infinite wisdom, said the defense hadn't established a nexus between the alternative suspects and the murders. So all of it, Ron Logan's confession, the Odinism investigation, the erased interviews, the crime scene expert, stayed out. The jury deliberated without it. They didn't even know it existed. The appeal argues this gutted Allen's constitutional right to present a defense. And if that's true, nothing else matters. You don't get a fair trial if you can't point at someone else and say, maybe it was them, especially when it was not you. Category two is the right to undermine the reliability of Allen's incriminating statements. This is about the confession, 61 of them, according to the prosecution. Allen confessing to prison guards, to the warden, to his wife, to his mother, to his psychologist. It sounds like a slam dunk. Why would an innocent man confess 61 times, right? Well, here's what the appeal is going to argue. Context. During the same period, Allen was confessing to killing Abby and Libby. He also confessed to killing himself, his family, his best friend, a granddaughter that doesn't exist. He confessed to essaying his sister and his daughter. Both women testified at trial under oath that, no, that's never happened. Richard Allen never touched them. He confessed to crimes that are provably, demonstrably false. And he was confessing to all this while running headfirst into a concrete wall and eating feces. So if a man confesses to things that didn't happen while doing all of that, what does it tell you about the things he confessed to that might have? The defense is also going to attack the psychologist who testified about Dr. Allen's confessions. Dr. Monica Walla treated Allen at Westville Correctional Facility. She told the jury about detailed admissions he made, that he cut the girls' throats, that he covered their bodies with branches, that a white van interrupted him and caused him to flee. Damning stuff. Except Dr. Walla admitted on the stand that she was a true crime fan, that she'd followed the Delphi case closely before Allen ever became her patient, that she'd visited the murder scene at Monon High Bridge before she started treating him. Her supervisor said that was unusual. Walla also diagnosed Allen with a brief psychotic disorder, but then testified she believed he was faking his symptoms. Yeah, because you always fake it, running headfirst into walls, eating poop. The defense brought in their own expert, Dr. Polly Westcott, a forensic neuropsychologist, not a fangirl. She reviewed the same records, conducted her own evaluation, and reached the opposite conclusion as any reputable doctor would. Allen wasn't faking. His cognitive function had collapsed. His frontal lobe was operating at a much lower level than his peers. She described him as a fragile egg who fell apart without his family. The jury heard both experts, but the appeal will argue the defense wasn't given a fair opportunity to demolish the confessions because of how other rulings boxed them in. Category three goes deeper on this. The constitutionality of statements made while Allen was, in the defense's words, gravely disabled in prolonged pretrial solitary confinement. Richard Allen spent 13 months in solitary at Westville Correctional Facility. 13 months in a small box for a man that's not yet convicted of any crime. Indiana Department of Corrections policy says inmates with serious mental illnesses shouldn't be in solitary for more than 30 days. Allen was diagnosed with serious mental illness in April of 23. A team of mental health professionals documented that he had grave disability. That's the same month the confession started. The jury saw videos from inside the cell. Allen naked, Allen with a hood over his head, restrained, being dragged by guards. Allen eating his own feces. Allen banging his head against the walls. Allen smearing waste on the concrete. A solitary confinement expert, Dr. Stuart Grasson, testified that extended isolation causes psychosis and can lead to false confessions. The defense isn't saying Allen was coerced. They're saying he was broken, that the state broke him through the conditions of his confinement and then used his broken words to convict him. If that's true, those statements should never have been admitted. That's the constitutional argument, and it is not a frivolous one. Category 4 is the constitutionality of the search of Allen's home. This is where the physical evidence comes from: the Sig Sauer handgun, the blue Carhartt jacket, the knives, and most importantly, an unspent 40-caliber bullet that the prosecution's firearm expert said had been cycled through Allen's gun, the same caliber as the round found between the girls' bodies. The defense tried to suppress all of it before trial. They accused the lead investigator, Tony Liggett, of omitting facts and fabricating witness statements to obtain the warrant. Judge Gall denied the motion, because that's what she does, found no evidence supporting those claims, even though there was. They're raising it again on appeal because here's the thing. The bullet is the only physical evidence that they claim ties Richard Allen to the crime scene. Known DNA, none. The state's own forensic scientist testified that known DNA was found linking Allen or anyone else to the murders. Hair found in Abby's hand was tested in October of 24, right before trial. It belonged to Libby's sister, Kelsey, not Allen. Not some mysterious third party, a family member. The prosecution's bullet expert, Melissa Oberg, testified about tool mark analysis, microscopic scratches that she said matched Allen's gun. The defense brought in their own expert, Dr. Eric Warren, who called her methodology apples to oranges. She compared an unspent round to bullets that had been test fired, different conditions, different results. And when the defense tried to call a metrologist to challenge the entire tool mark identification process, Judge Gull blocked it. The jury never heard compelling scientific testimony on the single piece of physical evidence connecting Richard Allen to the scene. Don't want to look at that. Might be wrong. If the search warrant was bad, everything found in that house is fruit of a poisoned tree. No bullet, no jacket, no gun. Take that away and what's left? Confessions from a man who is confessing to crimes that never happened while eating shit. Literally. Category 5 covers other evidentiary rulings, the cumulative effect of decisions that individually might survive scrutiny, but together paint a picture of a defense that couldn't defend. The two composite sketches. For example, law enforcement released a sketch in July 2017. An older man, heavier build, goatee. Then April 2019, they released a completely different sketch. Younger man, curly hair, no facial hair. They told the public the second sketch was actually drawn first, and now they believed it was more accurate. The defense wanted to show these sketches to the jury to demonstrate how directionless the investigation had been for 5 years. Judge Gall blocked it. Then there's the phone evidence. A defense expert, Stacey Aldridge, former FBI forensic examiner, testified that someone appeared to plug headphones into Libby German's phone at 5:44 p.m. on the day of the murders and remove them at 10:32 p.m., hours after the prosecution's timeline says the girls were already dead. The state's own expert couldn't explain it. He admitted on the stand that he'd done a Google search during a court break to find a possible explanation, you know, super scientific, during the court break. Let me get you the answers, judge. A Google search during trial. That's the state's response to evidence that doesn't fit their theory. Let's zoom out, shall we? Because the appeal isn't just about individual rulings. It's about how this case was built from the ground up. Or wasn't. Richard Allen walked into police 3 days after the murders, February 18th of 2017, and voluntarily reported that he'd been on the Monon High Bridge Trail that afternoon. He gave his name, his timeline, his location. A conservation officer named Dan Doolin took his statement. And then that tip, he got misfiled, like they record over shit, because they're a bunch of dipshits. At least that's how it seems. And the investigative team there at Delphi at Jerk Off Command, or whatever they're calling themselves this week. That tip misfiled. Someone wrote Richard Allen Whiteman because Allen's address was on Whiteman Drive. The sheet was marked cleared and there was no follow-up for 5 years. Then a volunteer clerk named Kathy Shank, sorting through boxes of tips in September of 2022, noticed the discrepancy. She flagged two investigators. 5 weeks later, Richard Allen was in handcuffs because they had no one else. One of them died. The others seemed to lead places that nobody wants to go. The other folks that are in this, and if you're new to this story, oh my God, look back at some of our other Delphi videos. The other folks that could be potential suspects, I don't know. I think they get too close to the sun. We don't know what the sun is. But it's something or someone or some group of people in power that do not want to be exposed here. And it involves some dark shit. Who, what, your guess is as good as mine. But all the obvious people, all the obvious leads, all those, I mean, no matter how damning they are, they're like, nope, it's this guy, maybe. Sheriff Tony Liggett admitted under oath that the early investigation was somewhat disorganized. 14,000 tips came in. One misfiled sheet set in a box for half a decade. The break in the case didn't come from skilled detective work. It came from a volunteer catching a clerical error, which at the end of the day is really all it is. Meanwhile, investigators released two completely different suspect sketches. They initially theorized multiple perpetrators. Prosecutor Nicholas McClelland used that theory to keep the probable cause affidavit sealed after Allen's arrest. By trial, it was a single perpetrator. No explanation for the pivot at all. They investigated Ron Logan, got an FBI search warrant, tracked his phone pings, documented his false alibi, received a jailhouse confession implicating him, and dropped it. They investigated Odinism connections, consulted experts, wrote internal reports, and dropped it. They investigated Keegan Klein, the guy running a catfish account that contacted Libby before she died, had plans to meet with her at the frickin' bridge the day she died, and dropped it. And then waited about 3 years to arrest him for the CSAM material that they knew he had. Huh. That's a little weird, isn't it? You know, this guy is catfishing underage girls, is collecting and amassing CSAM material, and you're like, you just keep doing your thing over there. We'll get back to you. Keep going for a few more years. What the hell is that? But then a volunteer finds this misfiled tip sheet and Richard Allen becomes your answer. The appeal brief is due December 17th. Assuming the extension is granted, less than 5% of convictions get reversed on direct appeal. The defense knows this. That's why they're being so meticulous. They're not just arguing to the Indiana Court of Appeals. They're building a record for federal habeas review if this fails. They've said in their filings that failing to properly brief these issues would itself constitute ineffective assistance of counsel. They are playing the long game. It seems so is the government as well. And their game is, let's hope he dies in prison so we don't have to be accountable for any of these horrible things that we've done and these missteps and these people that we've put into power that really don't deserve to work at a closed-down family video. The families of Abby Williams and Libby German have waited almost 8 years for justice. Some of them think they have it. They sat through 25 days of trial. They heard a man convicted and sentenced to 130 years. By any measure, that should be the end. But Richard Allen's defense is asking a question the system doesn't like to answer. Did you prove this? Not did you close it. Did you prove it? Did the jury hear what they needed to hear? Was the defendant given a constitutional trial, or was this conviction built on confessions of a broken man, a single piece of contested ballistic evidence, an investigation that couldn't find him for 5 years, and a judge who blocked the jury from hearing about anyone else who might have done it? And I've never seen a case with so many other potential folks with such damning evidence against them that it looks almost like a slam dunk that are ignored. Abby and Libby deserve justice. Their families deserve peace, but justice isn't just an ending. It's the right ending. And until every question raised in this appeal gets a real answer, we don't know if that's what they got. And I'll go out on a limb and say, guess what? It's not. Their real killer, folks, is still out there. Or he's dead. But he ain't the guy you got in jail, in prison. I know it's something nobody wants to hear who's close to this case. I can't imagine going through what those families went through. I can't imagine trusting in law enforcement to do their frickin' job, and this is the Yahoo yokel clown show you get. Jesus Christ. Your thoughts in the comment section on YouTube, please. Search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. That is where you will find us. And we got a lot on this case. So please give us your thoughts. While you're at it, be sure to press subscribe while you're there. And if you don't mind, on Apple Podcasts, please leave us a review. We do greatly appreciate that. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast. This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
There are so many reasons in the Delphi murders case to question what reality is, what's going on. We're talking with Bob Mata, defense attorney and host of the podcast Defense Diaries, about all of this as more and more documents have begun to come to light, depositions of the investigators breaking down so many of the claims that were made, so many of the ways this was steered internally, one person saying this, another saying that, sometimes not seemingly knowing what the other one is saying. One of the big pieces in this case, Bob, as we continue to break it down, is some of the early testimony. Obviously, there is the whole, we accidentally taped over our DVR with old episodes of the Golden Girls or whatever they did when they taped over their DVR of interviews with early suspects. Like, damn, we needed more Blanche. But what we have here in some of these interviews and some of these depositions, what we're learning about, and we've known for quite some time, but makes zero sense to the public when they start paying attention to this, is someone like Brad Holder, who on his Facebook page is allegedly, I mean, I've seen it. I mean, allegedly he has, it looks like people are acting out this murder scene. I don't know any other way to put it. Like two girls laying on the ground with the sticks on them. You have his buddy Elvis Fields allegedly making this statement. If my spit is found on the girls, would I still be in trouble? And these sort of things, they seem like they might be of some sort of relevance to a murder investigation. What say you?
You'd think.
Yeah, I mean, to me.
First of all, who asks a question like that? I mean, is that something that you say when you're at lunch with your buddies? I mean,
How do you even come up with a question like that?
It's even worse than that. It's like, so they had taken this Elvis Fields guy, and it's Kevin Murphy, who's, again, one of those three cops that was investigating this particular, you know, potential lead in terms of Odinism, you know, Norse paganism. And they take him in, they interview him. So, and Murphy's driving him back to his trailer park. Okay. And like, so Elvis Fields he's out of the car. Murph's like, okay, thanks, man. You know, we'll be in touch. And, you know, he starts walking away. And he turns around and he goes back to the car. So he's out of the vehicle. And that's when he says this thing. He says, hey, can I ask you a question? He's like, so if my spit is found on one of the girls, but I have an explanation of, you know, am I good? Am I in trouble?
What the hell?
I don't know. People wonder why I've just been like my head's been exploding about this case for 2+ years. It's like how do you discount that? I don't want to hear people saying, oh, well, Fields has a super low IQ. Yeah, I don't give a fuck. Like that would explain how stupid he has to be in order to go up to a cop and ask him that stupid ass question. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's a perfect explanation as to why he would have done that.
Why are you spitting on the body of a dead girl? And why is that like just a walk away moment?
I forgot. Hang on a second before I go.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, and beyond that, it's not just what he said to Kevin Murphy. It's what he said to his sisters, like right after the crimes took place. You know, he goes home and he's like, oh, he's like, I'm finally a part of something. I'm finally a part. I've got brothers now. I did this thing. And, you know, he confesses to his sister, and his sister is so disturbed by it that she reaches out to law enforcement. And she's like, well, you know, my brother has basically confessed to being a part of these crimes. They bring her in order to give her a polygraph. The polygraph is to determine whether or not she is being truthful about what her brother said to her. And the polygraph comes back. And again, polygraphs are just tools, but law enforcement uses them in order to, you know, be able to try to indicate if there's some kind of deception going on. And they found that she was being truthful, you know, that her brother did in fact say this shit to her. So you compile that along with the thing that went on with Murphy. And I just don't see how you're able to ignore it in such a way, you know. And they're like, oh, well, his phone was at the house. Well, his phone was off for 10 hours. You know, his alibi that he was out at this hospital with Ron Abramson is cannot be verified. Like everything that they say that they did to kind of clear these guys is all bullshit. Yeah. When you go back to Brad Holder, and you know, he's like, well, I was at work. Okay. Well, so what? You know, you're at work until whatever, 4 o'clock or 2:30. Sometime I forget what the time is, but it's sometime in that time frame, right? And that doesn't mean that the girls weren't picked up by somebody else in that crew if they're involved. You know, yeah. you have to believe that the state's timeline is the correct timeline, and I just don't. I don't think that that's the correct concept. And I've been out to the trails, right? Mm-hmm. I went out there because I was there for all the trial. Yeah. So obviously, you know, I went out and spent quite a bit of time on the trails. And it's a very serene place. You know, now it's got that kind of haunted feeling, obviously, because we know what happened there. But, you know, I'm out there, and I was out there with my wife, and like she was taking a different path. And I walked down to the bridge. Okay. And now the way that it's currently situated is they finally closed it off in the sense that they built like a banister, like a railing that stops. So it leads you out to where you used to be able to walk out on the bridge if you like walked around the barricade that they had. That's how all the kids used to continually walk over that thing. And so I went out there, and Tony and Stacy, the thing that was so evident to me is that there, you can hear everything out there. I was standing out there, and there was no one else out there. Okay. And there was There was a small, I don't even know what it was. It sounded like I was standing right next to it. But up, if you look up to, and this is at the north end of the bridge. If you look up, there's like the kind of like a berm that goes up like from the north side where you could walk up. And then you're on the other side of Deer Creek. And that's how you would get down to Ron Logan's property without crossing the creek. So I'm looking up in that area because I can hear an animal moving around. Whether it's a squirrel or a deer, whether it's big or small, I don't know, but I hear it as clear as day. My point being that with the amount of people that were out there down in that area around the time that the state is claiming, for no one to have heard anything in terms of two girls being taken by gunpoint across a creek and then the homicide taking place, like, do you think that one of the girls, while the other one is being unalived, would just be sitting there quietly while the killer is slitting her throat?
I mean, because they didn't get killed there, probably.
The concept that no one heard anything in terms
of insane. And you got to think of that. That's a very good point to make. I'm thinking of that right now because we're getting into fall and autumn and winter and all that. And there's a dramatic difference outside on a walking trail in
leaves
winter
crunching.
Or summer. When you have all the leaves and the foliage is there, there's a lot of noise that's going on. When it's quiet and then nothing's rustling in the trees, you can hear almost anything. You're exactly right. Yep. And this was a day like that. This was a setting like that where, you don't know if that's, sometimes a chipmunk sounds like it's a boar. And you're like, oh God, it's just a chipmunk that's rustling around. But yes, the sound is a huge thing. And you're exactly right. You're going to control these two girls. You're going to murder them. And then somehow they're going to be like completely clean after the murders too, because that's naturally how that happens with no blood around. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. That's where it obviously makes a lot more sense that they were killed elsewhere and then their bodies were drugged back out there, probably by more than one person. But again, none of it, all these things, somehow they tried to fit that square peg into that round hole with Richard Allen, despite all of this. Were they just hoping that no one would ever pay attention to this and they could just kind of keep going? Is this just kind of how a lot of small town cases work, where eventually, like, most never end up paying attention to it, and you can just kind of shuffle them along? But now we're in a very different landscape where there's gazillions of us out there that have nothing better to do than to check each other's work or check the work of small towns and their law enforcement and their handling of cases, and they weren't anticipating having their work checked.
I mean, they could have thought that initially. You know, they're like, oh, we're just this little small town in Indiana, rural Indiana. And, you know, but like they had to know in short order, like once they decided to release the bridge guy, that little clip of the bridge guy in the picture. And once the national media picked up on it and once, you know, they decided to do a podcast about it, they had to know that it was becoming a high profile case.
Yeah.
Pretty early on.
And why the bridge guy video too? The video they released was edited. The sound isn't in the right place.
I was sitting at the trial, right? I've been waiting like the rest of the world to watch these videos. And you knew that we were coming to that point in the trial, and McClelland talks about, okay, we're going to play this video. I'm like, oh my God, we're finally going to see this 43, 46 seconds, whatever it is. And so I'm sitting there like on the edge of my seat. You know, we're in a relatively small courtroom. There's one large monitor that they had kind of towards the window side of the courtroom. Okay. So you've got the jury box over to what would have been my right. And then this monitor over to the left. And I had pretty decent seats. I was like third row. So like, you know, so I'm sitting there and you're trying to take it all in, right? In, you know, this 40 seconds in time. And when I'm initially watching it, it didn't seem. And so when he says that he's going to show the video, he claims that he's showing the original video first, that the one that wasn't enhanced. Okay, so I'm sitting there watching it, and when I'm watching that the first time, I don't see Bridge Guy. Okay, like when I'm watching it. Now, does that mean that he wasn't there? I don't know. I mean, it's like clearly at some point the guy appears, but in that original video, I don't see him. Is it because I'm trying to look at everything and take everything? I don't know. It was the fastest 40 seconds of my life. Like when I walked out of the courtroom, because we took a break after it, I'm like, I was asking other people, I'm like, was that the full like 40 whatever seconds? And some people were like, nah, it couldn't have been. It was too fast. And some people were like, yeah, well, that was it. I was timing it. So I'm like, you know, but you're trying to look and hear everything that you can when you're watching it in that time. So I'm like, ah, man, I didn't see the dude. Did you see the guy? And like various people were like, no, I didn't see him either. So I'm like, okay, that's not just me. Like, because I don't want people saying, oh, well, like Bob Mata thinks he's innocent, so he didn't say. No, like I just didn't see him. So the next video that they show is the enhanced. Mm-hmm. Okay. And in that video, you clearly see him. Now, I don't know what they did, because they didn't put on the kind of like foundational evidence that I would have expected to explain the process of what they did exactly to that video to enhance it in such a way that it looks so drastically different to me. So, and then they show a third version, which they say was enhanced and stabilized, which I, again, there was no real questioning by the defense in terms or any kind of foundation laid by the prosecution as to how this occurred. Like what process did you use in order to get to this? They said some shit, like you go back to the trial transcripts and see what he says. It's like the equivalent to nothing.
Well, yeah. You know, we stabilized it. So, you know, we held it real good. Like it was nothing.
Yeah.
It wasn't kind of the technical thing that you would hope to hear in terms of like how you were able to produce this video, which again, you know, the people that have all the serious doubts about this conviction, they look at those types of things and they're like, you know, that's why people are like, oh, well, you know, was it tampered with? You know, did it come from the actual phone? Where did this video, you know, like that creates all that kind of doubt when they're not putting forth the process in which they were able to get this thing looking the way that it did. So, you know, ultimately, you know, that video, man, is like just one of those things where I'll never understand how they were able to make it seem the way that it seemed in terms of kind of the way that like there was one portion of it where it seemed like from the original to where I'm watching the enhanced and stabilized thing that like I can see it's almost as if they were able to access like the back camera. Like, so you know what I'm saying? Like that they were able to access things that you weren't seeing on the original video, but that was being recorded by like, I don't know, man. It just, it looks so different.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's extended and where the sound drops of the down the hill is not where it drops in that little snippet that they originally placed. It the sound is different, and they made it so the sound would be at a different place, so it looks a lot more ominous. When I watched that video, one of the newer extended cuts of it, I don't get a real ominous feeling from the guy at all. The girls, if we watch it, it's they're trying to figure out, you're clearly talking about how to get underneath the bridge before the guy even gets there. Yeah. They're wanting to go down the hill. They are the ones that want to go down the hill. So they're kind of fumbling around. The guy gets close enough. If you see two kids and they're trying to figure out a path to get somewhere and you know the path, I don't think it's insane to be like, down the hill. It's kind of point, like the path's right there. That's kind of what I got out of it. If I saw that and I didn't know anything that happened, I would not have necessarily said, oh, a murder took place immediately after this. It just doesn't have that sort of a vibe to it when presented in its full context. And if it was such a nefarious, scary video, then why the hell did we only see 3 seconds of it up until until after you got Richard Allen convicted?
Context is everything, right?
Yeah, and we look at the whole damn thing, and it's like, this is nothing.
Right.
Like, there's nothing to this.
That's what I'm saying. Like, yeah. It's the lack of context
Yeah.
In terms of putting out that little teeny clip is what made it so ominous.
Yeah.
You don't have the entire video. And you know, for me, like who the hell is Libby talking to? You know, in that portion of the video where she's like, oh, you know, you go down right here. You know, like this is like there's no path. Like this is where you go. You know, like who is she talking to? Kind of almost in a whisper. You know what I'm saying? It's like to me, like I just don't know if there's somebody else behind her because we know that Abby's not to her at that point. You know, because then she swings the camera back around and that's when you see Abby come to like run past her.
She's talking to herself, you know, it's with possible. A camera and a mic. I mean that's kind of what I got out of it. I felt like she was just kind of murmuring to herself and there's a mic in front of her.
But and why? She's recording it because that's what that generation does now. They document everything and they narrate it. That's
basically narrating her life is kind of what I got out of it.
So it's possible. It's kind of TikTok culture, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, was it TikTok culture in 2017 though?
True.
It was starting.
I don't think so. Yeah. I mean, it might have been Snapchat culture.
Yeah, I mean, people are narrating stuff. We certainly had YouTube. People are narrating things at that.
Yeah,
I didn't find that part weird. I found that to be just she's making a video and kind of chatting to herself.
Yeah, but you're not taking into consideration. So if I'm to agree with your premise there, T, which I'm apt to do, but. That also bolsters your claim that there didn't seem anything to be nefarious about the guy, because exactly. when she's doing that, right? Like she would have presumably seen the guy at that point when she's turning around and filming that and saying, you know, this is the path that we go down or whatever she says, something to that effect. So, you know, I mean, that would seem to indicate that if she is just continuing to kind of narrate, you know, oh, this is where we're at. This is what we're doing. You know, this is the path that we would go down. Then I think that supports your position that they weren't thinking anything of that guy in terms of him being a threat. You know, the other part of it that you just cannot explain, okay, which is the 207 picture, right, of Abby on the bridge that's presumably taken by Libby. However, that picture was never found on her phone, not in her picture cache, not in the Snapchat cache, nowhere. They couldn't find that phone. It came from the internet. And it's that picture of Abby with the entirety of the bridge behind her, all the way to the south. You can see all the way to the end and there's nobody there. So, you know, like I have always been of the mindset that this dude ended up walking from the north end past them and then turned around. And that because like I don't know how you explain that person just doesn't exist now, because if you're out there, I mean, there's some I wish I could have gotten out onto the bridge because I would have taken measurements. I really wanted to take measurements in terms of like what the distance between the railroad ties was, you know, but it's a scary bridge to cross.
Yeah.
Like it's not the type of bridge that you're just walking, you know.
No, like there's dangers. Thing. Yes.
Yes. It's a very, very scary proposition. And especially if you're, you know, the older you get in life, the scarier shit becomes. Like, especially a bridge that's 100+ feet off, you know, above a creek. Yeah. You know, like when you're across, like old people are gonna be like, oh shit, man, this is pretty terrifying.
Gone this far, this ain't worth it.
Yeah. Right. You know, so I don't know, man. It's like that picture of Abby on the bridge with nobody behind her in conjunction with the video, just it does not make sense to me in terms of what their theory is, and I'm talking about the state's theory of the case.
It would be a great setting for Robert Stack in his trench coat to be walking across the bridge on.
Nice. And then all of a sudden he trips,
and that's the end of Unsolved Mysteries forever.
Right?
It's like, oh, Robert Stack's gone. What are we looking at in the comments, Stacey, on some of this?
Lots of stuff. Our comment section today is absolutely on fire, and I want to thank everybody for their amazing comments. Scrolling back, somebody brought up, is it Greg Ferency?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was an interesting comment. I'm so sorry. I can't remember who said it because our comments are just blowing up today. It's way back there. But talking about that link as well, Greg Ferency died, if I remember correctly. Is that right?
He was murdered. Yeah.
Outside a courthouse?
A federal building. Yeah.
Okay. And forgive me if my memory is cloudy, but he could have testified to what he knew, right?
Well, of course. I mean, had she?
Do you think it was he was murdered. It was not targeted shooting, but well, there's so many deaths around this case.
Whether or not it was targeted is hard to say. I don't know, but the problem is that Ferency, but you know, he's deceased. Rest in peace to Greg Ferency, who by all accounts was an excellent law enforcement officer. But you still had Todd Click and you had Kevin Murphy that would have been available to testify. They were all three working as a team together, you know, which is where this appeal, how much they're going to dive into the third party culprit defense not being allowed at trial. I'm hoping that they're going to be diving into it pretty substantially. But those two guys could have testified. They could have testified as to what Ferency had uncovered in his own investigation, you know, under the collective knowledge doctrine. So like that would have been able to come in.
Okay.
Like, whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like Ferency stuff would have come in through either Click or Murphy because they all were working as a team together in terms of their investigation. Like Click wrote, you know, kind of the Odin memo, you know, his little thing where after they arrest Richard Allen, Todd Click is like, what the fuck just happened? And he's like sending McClelland an email saying, hey man, did you read that thing that I gave you? That 12 page investigation journal or memo that I prepared for you? Because I don't understand why you have this guy in custody when the evidence that we've been able to put together in terms of this other crew of people is way stronger. And I mean, so much so that Todd Click, who's a cop, goes and hires a lawyer to figure out, like, how do I deal with this prosecutor who I think is doing the wrong thing here? And, you know, so that's when this letter goes out to McClelland. And after Click, you know, talks to his lawyer and says, you know, how do I address this? What should I do with it? Because I think that they're fucking up. And, you know, from that point forward and right before trial to follow on with the Todd Click story, you got Ferency, who's killed. And that's after this Odinism thing has been going on in terms of their investigation. So whether there's a connection or not, I have no idea. But, you know, right before trial, Todd Click, who had left law enforcement and was working for like CPS or some branch of Child Protective Services, is arrested saying that he was fudging his records, like right before the trial on some bullshit, saying that he was talking to parents or witnesses on cases that were to be investigated, but he didn't really go, you know, or didn't make the phone call or, you know, so like some ticky tacky shit that they come out in order to dirty him up before trial in the event that they're going to allow the third party culprit stuff to come in, you know.
You're right. And I remember that.
That shit's still pending for Todd Click. So, wow. I mean, there was like an active, it seems to me, plan to dirty up everybody that was involved with that Odin side of it in order to be able to discredit it completely in the event that it would have come in at trial. And I mean, never forget that it was Judge Gull herself who told McClelland, hey, you know, Nick, you know, that whole third party culprit thing, you might want to go ahead and file a motion to try to bar that from being introduced. And McClelland's like, oh, yeah, that's a good idea. So it's like, yeah, but this is all the shit that's going to be brought out in the brief. And it's just, to me, you know, for the girls, for those families of the girls, you want this thing to have been done right the first time. Yes. And I've been saying it forever and ever and ever. It just wasn't. And, you know, I don't know what the appellate court will do. I don't know what will happen if that is denied once the post-conviction petition is filed and that investigation takes place. Because that, the direct appeal, just so people understand, only deals with the issues related directly to the pretrial and the trial itself. You don't bring in new evidence there. Typically, in a direct appeal, it can happen, but typically you don't hammer away at ineffective assistance of counsel in that particular brief on a direct appeal. But that doesn't mean that it won't. That doesn't mean that it won't happen, because it can. It's just usually you see that in post-conviction work.
Here's the Delphi, the bridge video, or one of them. Can we do sound on that, Todd?
Click, yeah, little, I can do. Click the sound thing down there, T, in the lower right-hand corner. It's muted. I think
that.
There you go.
Guys.
Hi.
Restart it. Here we go.
Yeah.
See, this is the path that you're down.
I think she's talking to her. She's right there.
There's no path going there, so we have to get down here.
Pause it right there. Pause it right. So if you're to take Libby's words at face value, it sounds like they were already going down there.
Yeah, they're basically discussing mm-hmm. where the path is, where to go.
Right, before anybody says down the hill.
Yes,
right,
completely.
She's talking about, like, this is the path that we have to take to go down. Yeah. Like, if nobody, like, it, and so as we're about to hear, this is when this person says down, like, so, yeah, it's just, I don't know, dude, this case is insane to me.
It is.
It doesn't feel weird at all when this resumes, because it's just, if these two girls are kind of like flailing around, like looking like they're anticipating to go down the hill, and you're walking by and they seem confused as to if this is a path or something, I would probably be like, oh yeah, down the hill, thinking nothing of it and continuing along my merry way. Let's play that last few seconds.
Guys.
Hi.
There we go. It was just like, hi, down the hill. That's what I got out of it. Or, hey, guys, down the hill.
Yeah.
Nothing weird.
It doesn't seem strange. They just met somebody on the trail. They said hi. And then they continued about their business. It just doesn't feel like there's anything going on here.
Yeah, I mean, and there's people out there. Well, you know what I mean?
Riddle me this one. Why on earth is Bridge Guy the guy? What connects this man on the bridge to magically being a murderer?
Yep.
Where did we find all the Bridge Guy clothes soaked in blood that we go, oh, well, it must be Bridge Guy who did this because the clothes he was wearing are covered in blood. It doesn't exist. It's simply because this guy was in the proximity of a murder. So as many other people who were walking around in that park that day, any of them could be just as likely to have perpetrated this crime.
Yeah.
This idea that Bridge Guy is the guy, I've never understood. I just don't. How?
Yeah. I mean, to Stephon Curry's, that's a kidnapping when you pull a gun on kids and say, guys down the hill. Well, Stephon, I guess my pushback to you on that would be, how do you know he actually pulled a gun?
Yeah, we don't see it.
Because, like, and I completely reject, I can't remember who it was, if it was the cop that was listening to all the sound. One of
oh, yeah, someone says they heard the gun cop, like.
Yeah, he says he said
there's leaves crunching. I don't know how you can make out distinct sounds.
There's no way. But he said not only that the gun's racked, but he also said that he thinks that he heard her say, "Dat be a gun."
Yeah. And because she's suddenly speaking that way, she's suddenly speaking at a totally different cadence than she has in any other time. "Dat be a gun." Cause that, like,
come on, folks, common sense here. We don't even have a gun on video. We don't, the sound, because you heard a noise, a amongst a thousand other noises, well, that one must be a gun racking.
It could be a twig breaking.
And somehow this man who's on the bridge amongst many other people in that park that day, on the nice day that it was, must be the murderer because they happened to capture him on video.
I mean, like...
The dots don't connect.
Well, they don't, but I can see why law enforcement took it that way because it was the easiest thing to do.
Yeah, I mean,
well, they've got there. They get the phone. They get this video. They're like, oh, shit, there's the guy. Like, I mean, you can see why law enforcement decided to tunnel vision on that dude being the guy. Right. Because it was the easiest thing to do. And to them, it made the most sense.
It's quite a assumption, though, too.
I mean, it is.
If those girls had taken more videos, they could have captured probably many more people. And I think any one of them would have been just as likely as being the person. Mm-hmm. I mean, or less likely. Because if you see the person that has a camera and they're videoing you, you think, I'm going to go kill them and leave their phone by them that they just taped me on.
Right. Like, no, place it under her.
Yeah, and place it under her body. It's not like you missed the phone and you saw her with the phone and she might be taping you. Yeah, let's go kill those two and leave the phone there.
I'm obviously with you. I'm just ready for this appeal to, you know, the brief to get filed, man. To see
me too. Me too.
And just, you know, go.
There's a lot. I mean, if anything, all these pieces, these depositions that have come out really just reconfirm just what a cluster this whole thing has been, that we've all known it to be, but even worse, I think, than we originally thought possible. Bob Mata, Defense Diaries, thank you so much for coming on and giving us your thoughts on this. And Buried, the John Wayne Gacy story, is that?
Inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation.
Inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation. It is available also wherever you get podcasts. Search for it right now. Buried Inside the John Wayne Gacy investigation. Multi-parts into it in ways that you have never heard this case before. So if you've been into the Peacock series, you definitely want to check this one out as a great companion to it. It's going to take you so much deeper than anything you could ever get on the series, but definitely worth
Thanks,
checking
T.
out from Bob.
Thanks.
So do check that out. Until next time, for Bob, for Stacy, for Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once, a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.